Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 226 for the week of August 14th, 2023. Before we start, reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at ftrintel.com/podcast. A reminder before we start into the content that less than a month away, FTR will host the FTR Transportation Conference, which is scheduled for September 11th through 14th in Indianapolis. Among other things, we will have a full day of content just on truck freight. We'll have another day on truck equipment and still another day on rail freight. And if you're really a glutton for that type of content, we'll have a day on rail equipment as well. You'll find information on the conference at ftrconference.com. Hope to see you there. Before we get into the data, I wanted to touch briefly on something Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration did last week, or actually technically on Monday, although it announced it earlier than that. The agency basically invited the states of California and Washington to apply for waivers from adverse rulings that FMCSA itself had issued. Now, the key thing to know is that FMCSA issued those rulings, and those were declarations that the meal and rest break regulations in California and Washington were preempted by federal law as they applied to interstate commercial drivers, that occurred during the Trump administration. In a Federal Register notice published in August 14th, FMCSA said that the states could file waiver petitions by November 13th. Importantly, it said that the states need not argue that the preemption rulings were legally incorrect, but only that a waiver of the preemption declaration would be in the public interest and consistent with the safe operation of commercial motor vehicles. Now, FMCSA did ask the states to address three specific issues. The first is whether and how the meal and rest break laws have affected the health and safety of intrastate drivers, which are not covered by the preemption declaration. The second question is whether enforcement of the laws on interstate drivers would exacerbate the truck parking shortage. And finally, would enforcing the meal and rest break rules on interstate drivers dissuade carriers from operating in the states, and whether those states had any plans to address any negative effects of that outcome, such as the weakening of the national supply chain. Now, yes, FMCSA does want California and Washington to clear certain bars, but it is hard to read its invitation to them as anything other than a signal that the Biden administration is looking at this issue differently than the Trump administration did. The American Trucking Association strongly criticized FMCSA's action, saying that, quote, a singular national standard of work rules for professional drivers is crucial to both safety and the supply chain, end quote. ATA President Chris Spear continued, saying that, quote, unnecessary and duplicative state laws are not grounded in safety and have been primarily enforced via private lawsuits designed to extort the trucking industry, end quote. Okay, let's get to the data. We're going to start with more from FMCSA, and this is the latest from FMCSA's Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. We'll first look at pre-employment queries as an indicator of the strength of hiring of drivers who are required to have commercial driver's licenses. The more than 26,000 pre-employment queries conducted during June were 3.4% below the May level, and perhaps more notably, those queries were 0.5% down year over year. Now, 0.5% is not much, but this is actually the first time since FMCSA launched the clearinghouse in January 2020 that pre-employment queries have been below the year earlier level. Now, queries do tend to be volatile month to month, so it is perhaps useful to look at the average over a longer period. So if we look at the first 6 months of this year, the average is roughly around where it was in June, which is 226,000 queries per month. Last year, the average in the first 6 months was 208,000, and in the first 6 months of 2021, pre-employment queries averaged just over 159,000 a month. So this year, they're still running quite a bit higher than they were in the same periods the past 2 years. Now, higher queries do not necessarily mean the driver force is growing, as carriers must conduct queries to replace drivers. However, the higher number does reinforce our discussion in last week's podcast that larger carriers have been absorbing many of the drivers displaced by trucking failures. Before we move on, let's update the data on the principal purpose of the clearinghouse, which of course is to take drug-using drivers off the road. As of July 1st, the clearinghouse has flagged nearly 197,000 drivers with a violation since January of 2020. Of those, more than 139,000 are still barred from driving. Okay, we have delayed this discussion long enough. Let's talk about diesel prices. The national average price of diesel rose another 13.9 cents during the week ended August 14th to $4.37.8 cents a gallon. That is the highest price since mid-February. In just 4 weeks, diesel prices are up 57 cents. Now, to grasp how extraordinary that is, consider that in the most recent period of mostly falling rates, we saw them fall in 20 of 22 weeks for a total of 86 cents, which is just 30 cents or a little less than 30 cents more than what we saw in just 4 weeks. Prices in the latest week were up by double digits in all regions, with the smallest being an increase of 10.4 cents a gallon in the Central Atlantic. On the other end of the spectrum was 17.5 cents in California, and there were several other regions that were pretty close to that. Now, one factor in higher diesel prices clearly has been higher crude prices. After months of stability within a few dollars of $70 a barrel, West Texas Intermediate has closed above $80 in all but one trading session since July 27th. West Texas Intermediate on August 9th closed at $84.40. That is the highest closing price since mid-November, but crude has eased slightly since then. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for the week ended August 11th, which is week 32 of the year. A decrease in flatbed spot rates was mostly responsible for lower broker-posted rates in the truck stop system during the week. Dry van spot rates barely changed, edging up a fraction of a cent. Refrigerated rates eased more than a cent, but that was after the prior week's robust gain. And refrigerated spot rates exceeded flatbed rates for the second straight week. That was after trailing flatbed for all but 1 week since early January. And by the way, dry van spot rates have not exceeded flatbed rates since early 2022. The presentation deck accompanying this podcast includes a chart that shows those three segments or equipment types, rates going back to 2018 relative to each other. Okay, let's look a little closer. We'll start with the rates. Total broker posted rate decreased 3 cents. That was after rising slightly more than that in the prior week. Rates were about 15% below the same week last year. That is the least negative comparison year over year since late last year, and were nearly 5% below the five-year average. The rate decrease follows seasonal expectations for total market rates, which do tend to decline between late June and Labor Day. Let's look at rates by segment. Dry van rates were up 0.5 cents. That was after rising more than 4 cents in the prior week. Rates are nearly 13% below the same week last year, nearly 9% below the five-year average. And that year-over-year comparison of 13% was the least negative since July of last year. Refrigerated rates eased basically 1.5 cents. That was after rising more than 11 cents during the prior week. Those rates are nearly 11% below the same week last year for the least negative comparison since May of last year. Refrigerated rates were 6% below the five-year average. And flatbed spot rates decreased more than 3 cents after easing 1 cent during the previous week. Those rates, which have fallen in 9 of the last 11 weeks, were nearly 18% below the same week last year and about 3% below the five-year average. And let's look at volume. Total load activity declined about 6%. That was after rising 4% in the prior week. Volume was more than 22% below the same week last year, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually the least negative comparison year over year in more than a year. And those rates were those loads were about 26% below the five-year average. Dry van loads fell 5.3%. Volume was nearly 14% below the same week last year and almost 19% below the five-year average. That year-over-year comparison was the least negative in more than a year. Refrigerated loads fell about 8% after rising more than 14% in the prior week. Volume was more than 13% below the same week last year and 17% below the five-year average. And finally, flatbed loads fell 6.9% after rising 3% in the prior week. Volume was about 35% below the same week last year and about 41% below the five-year average. We only have a handful of monthly economic indicators to discuss this week, and half of them relate to inflation at the consumer and producer levels. We'll start with consumer. The consumer price index for all items increased 0.2% seasonally adjusted in July, which is the same as June's gain. Average monthly increase in that index during this year has been 0.3%, and the average since March has been 0.2%. During 2022, the average monthly gain was 0.5%. So you can see we were definitely seeing deceleration. As has been the case in most months recently, the largest contributor to the all items index was shelter. The shelter index, however, is seeing gains slow, albeit gradually. The 12-month change in the all items CPI was 3.2%, which was up slightly from June's 3% level. CPI, excluding the volatile food and energy sectors, also was up 0.2%, as it had been in June. The 12-month change was 4.7%, down 0.1 point from June, and the lowest since October of 2021. Energy costs were a marginal upward factor in the overall inflation during July, but barring a really dramatic change over the next couple of weeks, it will be a major factor in August all items CPI, because gasoline prices, as diesel prices, not as dramatically, but gasoline prices also have been on the rise. Okay, let's talk about inflation within the supply chain. The producer price index for final demand increased 0.3% in July, as the 0.5% increase in final demand services was the largest since August of last year. The producer price index for final demand goods ticked up just 0.1%. The PPI was just 0.8% higher for the 12 months ended in July. Excluding foods, energy, and trade services, the PPI ticked up 0.2%. That gain might sound small, but it's actually the largest since February. Several of the months during that period were actually negative. The 12-month change for the PPI, excluding foods, energy, and trade services, was 2.7%. One notable development was a drop in pricing for some key industrial commodities. That could be noise in the data, or it could signal some further weakness in the industrial sector. Producer price index for steel mill products plunged 7.6% That's the fifth largest month-over-month drop on record, and it is the largest since February of last year. However, the PPI for steel mill products is still higher than it was as recently as March, and is more than 70% higher than it was in February of 2020. The producer price index for aluminum sheet and strip fell 2.4%. That's the largest decrease since October. The aluminum PPI is more than 11% above February of 2020. So let's look at freight transportation services, which I know most listeners are particularly concerned about. Those PPIs generally did not move very much. The general freight truckload producer price index eased 0.2% after an adjustment of the June estimate to a 1% month-over-month decrease. That was down from an initial estimate of a 4.3% drop. The LTL PPI was unchanged month-over-month, while the long-distance specialized trucking producer price index fell a little more than a percent. Rail intermodal eased 0.3%, and the producer price index for freight brokerage declined 1.4%. Okay, let's discuss inventories and sales in wholesale. Inventories for merchant wholesalers declined 0.5% during June, but sales fell 0.7%. The result was that the wholesale inventories to sales ratio ticked up to 1.41. That matches March of this year as the highest ratio since the Great Recession. A high inventories to sales ratio indicates a risk of inventory correction, which would reduce freight demand, but we also have to acknowledge that there's a lot going on in the wholesale supply chain, especially related to final mile. So while there is certainly an elevated risk of inventory correction, there's certainly no guarantee of it either. The increase in wholesale, the wholesale ratio came mostly in durable goods, which saw sales fall 0.6%, and inventories declined just 0.1%. The drop in sales for non-durables was sharper at 0.9%, but the decrease in inventories also was greater at 1.2%. Finally, this week, let's talk about international trade in goods. U.S. goods exports adjusted for inflation ticked up 0.5% in June, but aside from April and May levels, they were at their weakest level in a year. Real dollar imports declined almost 1% in June following a 2.3% drop in May and were at their lowest seasonally adjusted level since November. While exports generally have held up better than imports recently, imports are still far higher relative to the pre-pandemic era than exports are. Real goods imports in June were nearly 15% higher than February 2020 levels, while real goods exports were a mere 2.4% higher. I want to touch on just a couple of sectors within the import category. Real motor vehicle and parts imports were up nearly 21% year over year in June and were the highest on record, topping the previous record in January. On the other hand, real consumer imports were down 16% year over year. Now, that divergence is largely the explanation for the separation in imports among U.S. Trading partners, especially the largest ones. Those would be North American partners, Canada, and Mexico, which are heavily invested in exports of vehicles and components to the U.S., especially Mexico. Meanwhile, a major share of China's exports to the U.S. are consumer goods. So given what's going on with automotive to the upside, consumer goods to the downside, we see that imports from Mexico are up 5.4% year to date through June, while imports from China are down about 25%. Canadian imports are down 5.3%, and imports from the two North American neighbors combined are essentially flat at up 0.1%. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. FMCSA plans to revisit state regulation of drivers' meal and rest breaks. Pre-employment queries of the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse eased in June, but are still very high. Diesel prices are up more than 57 cents just in the last 4 weeks. Flatbed was mostly responsible for a decline in spot rates during the latest week. Cooler consumer inflation held in July. Pricing for steel mill products fell sharply in July. The producer price indexes related to freight transportation did not see large moves. Wholesale inventories related to sales were the highest since the Great Recession, and automotive imports offset broader weakness in trade. Next week, we have lots to discuss, including industrial production and manufacturing output, retail sales, inventories, residential construction, and sales of existing homes. Plus, we'll recap diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight as usual. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 226 for the week of August 14th, 2023. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.